Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the noon report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, talking to them in their living room still because of coronavirus. But Michael, we'll begin with you. There is a great debate raging across America over when and how states should reemerge from this COVID-19. Your state this week went public with a color-coded coronavirus reopening strategy. Your thoughts on the Wolf plan here to open for business in Pennsylvania?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of the actions of a former Pennsylvania governor, Tom Ridge, who became the Secretary of Homeland Security when he instituted the color-coded terror threat after September 11th. So what Tom Wolf is talking about here is a phased-in reopening of things with a, you know, red, yellow, green schematic, and talking about doing slowly based on measures of cases in a particular county in a particular region. It seems still somewhat muddled even after the announcement that was made that opening will start on May 8th. Then suddenly within 24 hours, then the governor says, well, maybe May 1st for construction in the state. So it's not entirely clear how it's going to play out and what measures are going to be put into place. It really, again, depends on which region and which part of the state that you live.
Yeah, I know the North Central and the Western parts of the states will be the first to emerge from this coronavirus cloud. Let's head to Jason in New York State. Governor Cuomo also going public with a gradual, a regional approach to reopening. Do you think it's possible, and this may be wishful thinking, but I'll ask it anyway, that some regions of the state might get back to business by May 1st?
Well, I think the governor is responding to some pressure that local elected officials have been making, particularly in upstate New York. I think that's helping bring about a regional reopening, if you will. But I think May 1st is probably going to be premature. I don't think any place in the state will be fully open by May 1st. But May 15th is right now that pause date the governor has laid out. And I expect by May 15th that large swaths of upstate New York will be reopened in some fashion. How much will change in the Empire State moving forward? Well, time will tell. The governor's talking about reimagining New York and some new vision for New York after this. But up to this point, I think we're going to see some reopening by May 15th.
All right. We'll see. That meeting he had with the president made a lot of noise this week at the White House. These are the two most vocal voices in this whole pandemic, President Trump and Governor Cuomo. Do you think that that meeting will in any way encourage the state to move a little faster on reopening things in exchange for more federal help?
Well, I think it might. There is now dollars coming from the federal government for some of the testing that Governor Cuomo was seeking. And so he will walk out of that meeting with at least that win. He'll have some testing. But what he really wanted was money for his general fund that was not designated for anything else. And that's something he did not get. The state is facing a $15 billion or larger deficit. It's going to be at least $15 billion. And that really wasn't handled in the budget process this year. We had a large deficit. And so the governor is looking for a bailout for our state that does not appear to be coming.
Yeah, no blue state bailout, says Mitch McConnell. We'll see if the state actually has to file for bankruptcy, but we'll come back to that later. Michael, let's head back to Harrisburg. There was a webinar back on Tuesday that your organization held with faith leaders who are really concerned about the erosion of religious freedom in the midst of this pandemic. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Oh, it went great. We had hundreds of pastors and on our Zoom call that also went on to Facebook Live. And we hosted Kelly Shackelford, who leads the First Liberty Institute, one of the nation's leading religious liberty law firms that fights for religious liberty and has been involved in some of the notable cases that have come in since the COVID pandemic has spread across the country, the case in Louisville, cases in Mississippi and others, where local officials or governors are pressing in and going where they should not go based on First Amendment things. And so we were able to help these pastors understand sort of what are the guidelines, how do we love our neighbors but also protect religious liberty. And Kelly did a great job in sort of talking about that balance. And he also talked about, as we were on the call there, he mentioned that there were going to be actions from First Liberty related to some churches in New York State.
The number's astronomical in New York, what the governor says it is going to take to keep from going under. We mentioned earlier that Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has already said no to a blue state bailout. The governor quick to criticize him, thinking that he's playing politics here. But is there an upside? You hate to think of this, but is there an upside to New York State, New Jersey, Connecticut, several of these states hit hard by the pandemic, actually declaring bankruptcy, Jason?
Well, the upside might be that we right-size our state. The policies of this state have gotten so out of hand. The deficits that we are experiencing are not because of COVID-19 or coronavirus. It is a failure to plan, and because of, again, the big government policies that are not reining in the spending in this state. We are not prepared for what is coming.
Yeah.
And so this is an opportunity for New York State to get itself in line and to get its fiscal house in order.
Michael, this week the Senate passed a bill that would expand the use of telemedicine in Pennsylvania. It seems like a sensible move in midst of this pandemic, but still Governor Wolf is promising a veto. Why would he do that?
Because he is beholden to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood doesn't like this legislation because it includes language that prevents them from using telemedicine to provide chemical abortions for women in their homes. That's a dangerous practice. Obviously, it results in the death of an unborn child, but also can be harmful to the women who would use it. The FDA recommends against it. This legislation would expand telemedicine in Pennsylvania, but had restrictions and said we have to follow FDA guidelines. Planned Parenthood doesn't like that, and Governor Wolf does what Planned Parenthood says consistently when pro-life legislation comes to his desk.
We've talked a lot about Governor Cuomo, and there's more a controversial comment that he made, taking a lot of heat for, some would say, getting flip with a reporter on a question about protesters who fear that this shutdown will ultimately cost them their livelihood. The governor seemed to suggest if you want a job, you can get a job. Listen to this, Jason, from Governor Cuomo back on Wednesday.
No, there are people hiring. You can get a job as an essential worker. So now you can go to work and you can be an essential worker and you're not going to kill anyone.
So a lot of folks say at best that was insensitive, at worst maybe tone deaf to what's going on here. Why would he say something like that? How much trouble will he get in because of it?
Well, it's getting a lot of play on the social media circles right now. And, you know, I think the governor, who's generally very disciplined and on point, has had occasion where he gets off message. And this was one of those times where a very good New York Post reporter was just pushing him on that issue. The emotion, I think, of this situation is getting to him. The strain is getting to him. We mentioned the $15 billion deficit. He has no idea how to close that. So the governor, I think, is beginning to show some signs of cracking. And that's what I think you see in the messaging that's coming out.
Yeah, and a lot of essential workers will say, hey, they're cutting our jobs as well, so there may not be jobs in that field either. And then finally, Michael, the State Human Services Secretary, Teresa Miller, warned this week that while stay-at-home orders are good and help keep people healthy, in some respects, they're dangerous, that children are maybe susceptible to more child abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse in the home. Do you share those concerns with Teresa Miller?
Yeah, we absolutely do. I mean, as Jason said, the pressure on Governor Cuomo causing him to come close to cracking is also a pressure that many families are facing just being locked in, many facing very severe economic circumstances, mm-hmm. and exacerbating the situation of potential of abuse, whether it's spousal abuse or child abuse. And I'm looking here at a Google page, just Googling that question, stay-at-home Pennsylvania domestic abuse, and there's story after story of county after county where officials are saying they're seeing rising abuse in these situations. It's part of the cost of these stay-at-home orders, and one of the reasons I think people are starting to say, when is it going to open up?
Yeah, and you see the substance abuse problems now. A number of counties are reporting a major surge in drug addiction, overdoses, suicides. So we were not meant to live like this, that is for sure. But if you want to learn more about the great work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, where can they find you, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on the issues in Pennsylvania as well. Michael, what's your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.